Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. It is NFL Week 1. We are recording on Thursday, September 4th, which means there's actively a Philadelphia Eagles and Dallas Cowboys game going on at this minute. NFL football is back, folks. Dan, how are you feeling?
I feel blessed to be alive at this moment in our sports timeline, where NFL football after 7 months is back on my television in a meaningful manner. And I am stoked for the farewell season for the Ralph, man. I cannot wait to see kind of what the season looks like generally. But regardless of where the season ends up, it's going to be an emotional one for the Bills, closing a big chapter in our fandom and hopefully opening a new one next season.
But I mean, we have to start off the top with the most important topic. What did you think of the Crackle Ice uni combo that they're unveiling for that Patriots game? The Rivals?
So good.
You love them.
The cold front unis? Oh, I love them. Yeah. That all white look is so clean. The like textured, crystallized Bills logo on it. Honestly, it's perfect. I would say out of all those cold front rivalry uniform type deals, it's probably the best one. And I like that it is heads and tails above the Patriots blue storm uniform, which is god awful. It's just like a really drab mix.
And I would agree that the Bills is the best of the AFC East. I don't think I like it more than some of those NFC West teams.
They got some, the Rams is pretty sick.
The Rams, the Seahawks, some of those are pretty solid. I like it. My initial reaction was it is boring. When I first saw a photo of it, I was like, that is so freaking boring.
Oh,
like,
my God.
The detail was not perfectly apparent on first look. And I was like, that's super lame. And then I got to see like the snow on the buffalo fur shoulder feature, the Crackle logo, like you mentioned. I came around a little bit. I think they're pretty cool. I think for me, it was the fact that they added Buffalo instead of Bills to the front. There's like a lot of little touches that you don't see on the first blush that I, on a second watch, I was like, all right, I can see it. I think that they were very meaningful and thoughtful of putting in a lot of mafia friendly touches into the thing to honor the stadium, the people, the place. And for that, I think that they're really nice.
I was ready to give the NFL my money right then. I mean, God, I love that. I love those things. I was immediately taken.
Didn't they delay the ability to buy them in an NFL shop? Yeah, until September 10th. They're going to sell out in literally 1 second.
Yeah.
And they are, what, like $250 or something really like that?
Yeah. September 10th is my daughter's birthday, so she is getting the present of a 2XL Josh Allen cold front juicer.
Very good. Happy birthday, daughter.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, I got the wrong size.
It doesn't fit
no
you.
Returns.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, this is custom, too. It says Dan on the back.
Yeah, that's so weird. God, I can't believe they got that wrong, but it's cool they knew who I was.
Right. All right, so we've moved on from number one topic into maybe the second most important thing, which is the Buffalo Bills are going to play football in a few days on Sunday evening against the Baltimore Ravens, who have claimed this is a revenge game. They've got revenge on the mind, according to Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
Where do you want to start with this game, this team, the season to come, the roster? You know, we haven't talked since the cutdown day. We can start there as well.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the roster as it stands now. And unfortunately, what has been, a sentiment for a lot of Bills fans for the entire preseason is we should probably start with the injury report and where things are at there, particularly at the CB2 position for the Buffalo Bills. Because right now, Trey White, as we speak on Thursday, was a did not practice, highly unlikely to go. Looks like we're going to get something of either the Jamarcus Ingram experience or the Dorian Strong is the Christian Benford of this year, also has late legs entering the argument as well. Tyler Bass and all the veteran kickers that the Buffalo Bills have been trying out, they added, I think, Matt Prater to the practice squad today. Tyler Bass is an injury that concerns me. We all know, unfortunately, at this point about Dwayne Carter being done for the year. He has been officially moved to injured reserve. Keon Coleman, limited today, but then a little bit of bright news. Christian Benford, our clear CB1, was a full participant today. Khalil Shakir for the second straight day, also a full participant in practice. Looks like we're going to get our top wideout, one of Josh Allen's top targets, and one of our top outside defenders back for this game. But JJ, as we saw in as we have seen time and time again, a lot of teams know how to target where the Bulls are weak. And it looks like this weekend, JJ, all conversations are going to start with CB2, because that is going to be an area, I think, that Lamar Jackson, Todd Monken, and the rest of this aerial attack for the Baltimore Ravens are going to go after pretty significantly. So what's your read? Jamarcus Ingram, Dorian Strong, which way do you want to go? Or do you think they're going to end up platooning?
I think they're probably going to go with Jamarcus Ingram until he starts getting cooked. If he starts getting absolutely destroyed, because I feel like if it, you know, Todd Monken, good coach, Harbaugh, good coach, they're going to find him on the field. I always, when talking about team, if you know what team I'm talking about, I'll just say Harbaugh, because I cannot keep straight which one's Jim and which one's John. So
John's Baltimore and John's Baltimore.
Okay,
LA.
Yeah. So now I gave up my secret. Anyway, Harbaugh. they will absolutely use matchup setups to find Ingram and put Zay Flowers on him. I think that the problem with Zay Flowers versus Jamarcus Ingram is Jamarcus Ingram is a physical specimen at corner. He is tenacious. He is usually in the good place. He's more of a zone trigger downhill corner than he is a man match corner. And Zay Flowers is an absolute route technician and even faster, quicker in and out of his breaks. He's going to eat Jamarcus Ingram alive. Mark my words. If we see Jamarcus Ingram start the game, I could see Zay Flowers going for like, you know, near closing on 100 yards before the end of the half, if he is if they're finding that matchup and the Bills don't, and if the Bills don't have the capacity because of whatever, you know, they're playing, to give him enough safety help to shut down that option.
Well, yeah, and Flowers too. Monken is so good about freeing up Flowers using motion as well, mm-hmm. and creating mismatches for Flowers, particularly across the field. You add to the fact that he can run clean routes, get in and out of his break so quickly, but that he's got that head of steam with all that speed coming out of whatever motion packages that Munkin's worked up for him. And Flowers is going to be a tough matchup for anyone, right? And this is really where you're gonna see, like, listen, the Bills drafted the fastest cornerback at the combine and Maxwell Hairston. And this is where you're going to see like where they were figuring that speed was going to fit into their scheme, when you see what Flowers is going to do, particularly across the middle of the field. One thing I think that is going to be a benefit for the Bills is that it looks like Isaiah likely may not go for this game. He was a do not practice today for Baltimore. That's 100%.
It's highly unlikely that he goes for this one, because I think he had to have surgery a few weeks ago. And so it's the kind of thing where if they want him for the season, they're probably not going to play him this week.
Probably not. Right. So again, 99% that likely doesn't go. And mm-hmm. here's where that can be a benefit with some of that scheme, is because likely they basically use likely as a seam wide receiver in this particular offense. He, I think, had the second deepest depth of target out of all tight ends last season. They love to use him to attack the second and even the third level of the field, which mandates safety help across the top. And it's crazy when you have to shadow across the top for a streaking tight end, but that's the mismatch likely can provide. Without likely on the field, you've got Mark Andrews, you've got Zay Flowers. You do have the ability to try to bracket, try to cloud some sort of coverage towards Zay Flowers, a la the cover four and cover six packages that the Bills tend to roll out against the Miami Dolphins. So you could see some of that schematic sense applied here, given the fact that you don't have to worry about a target as unique as likely streaking downfield and taking away resources at the point of attack there. So the Bills have a way to scheme for it, but I think at the end of the day, it does come down to, do you have enough dudes to stop their dudes? Yep. And this is an advantage for Baltimore.
It's absolutely an advantage for the Baltimore Ravens. I was chatting with some Bills fans, friends, and the way I described the roster matchup for this game is that Baltimore has a supremely more talented defense, a comparable offense, and that if the Bills play mistake, if Josh Allen, the X factor is Josh Allen is a much better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. I'll say that. I'll go to my grave saying that, because anyone wants to say, oh, Lamar should have been the MVP last year, Lamar's stats were better, et cetera. That's fine. You can say that. All I will do is point to the scoreboard of postseason play. Lamar Jackson is a turnover machine, unreliable quarterback in the playoffs. Josh Allen, comparably, is one of the best quarterbacks in the playoffs, bar none. Josh Allen playing with the Ravens defense in any of the playoff runs that the Bills have made would have ended in the Super Bowl. I can almost certainly see it, right? Like, it's a matter of his supporting cast more than it is one-on-one talent. I think he's better. And so that's the X factor. If he plays at the top of his ability, the Bills can take this game. If all other things are equal and he and Lamar Jackson have similar games, the Bills will lose.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt. And because also you've got to factor in the just the straight up traditional run game that the Baltimore Ravens are bringing to the table as well. Not to mention the misdirection, right, and the sleight of hand that they do in the backfield between sending Lamar on design runs versus handing off to Derrick Henry. A lot of the RPO stuff they like to do. The Bills are simply going to, unless they have all of a sudden fixed all the issues on their defensive line, which I think we all agree they haven't, there's still a lot to be seen from some of these young D tackles in particular. Like, they're going to have to load up the box in a lot of situations. I mean, last year in the AFC divisional round, I think they played man against the Ravens at a clip of like 49%, mm-hmm. which was wild for a team that was only at about 20% man coverage during the regular season. So they're going to man up some of these wide receivers, right? They're going to man up Mark Andrews, and they're going to try to sell out to stop Derrick Henry and try to make Lamar Jackson as one-dimensional for as best as they can. I will say this, even though we don't think of the Buffalo Bills as a man defense, Lamar Jackson's success rate and EPA per play are much better against zone than they are man coverage across the board against any team that he plays. So there is something to consider there as far as if you're going to make Lamar uncomfortable, a lot of teams just try to blitz Lamar. And then, you know, Lamar is excellent against the blitz because of his mobility and his second reaction throws. But if you're going to man up a lot of these guys, if you're going to jam them at the line of scrimmage, which is something I think the Bills should probably look to do so they're not getting outrun every single play, you can disrupt some of Lamar's timing in this passing offense. So I would expect that the Bills are going to roll out a lot of man. And in the preseason, we saw them roll out blitz packages that are about 35% clip, much higher again than last season. I think they're putting a premium on getting to the QB. And I think despite the fact that Lamar is so good at neutralizing blitzes, I think they're going to mix in a lot of man looks. And I think they're going to mix in some exotic blitzes against Lamar just to try to throw him off his game.
Well, and I think that, you know, I think that's absolutely true. The problem of comparing last year's divisional playoff game to this year's opening game is that the Ravens came into that game with literally Rashad Bateman and some practice squad receivers. Mark Andrews, Rashad Bateman, practice squad receivers. Players who I don't even know or I don't even think are on the roster presently for the
wide receivers that you were comfortable manning up, right?
Yes. that is what I'm saying, is that the Buffalo Bills would never be considered a team in the NFL with exotic or elite level talent at CB other than Christian Benford, no question, top 10 CB in the league, can lock up anybody, trust that guy. But when you have three receivers, when the Ravens added down DeAndre Hopkins, they still have Mark Andrews, they have Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman. Now Rashad Bateman is the fourth, you know, best target in the game, whereas when they play them in the division round, he was the number one target that Jackson had to work with. And so I'm very worried, and I'm worried that the Bills are going to come out trying to protect Jamarcus Ingram, who I mentioned before is a better zone corner, by playing some of their traditional zone looks. And that is exactly what Jackson wants as a passer to carve up, because he's excellent at finding the first and second windows, especially with players like Flowers, Hopkins running through those zones. Hopkins has also had a very good track record against the Bills when they play zone. He just finds the open spaces. He bodies people. I don't like a matchup where Taron Johnson is trying to defend DeAndre Hopkins in a crossing route. Like, that Taron Johnson's a dog, but he cannot outbody somebody 4 inches taller and about 50 pounds heavier. So,
Right. So I think we both agree, mismatches all across the field. Before we switch to the offensive side of the ball for the Bills, what are you expecting to see from, I mean, these young kids are going to play, right? Yeah. Like, Sanders is going to play, Walker is going to play. This is a hell of a first test for your first real pro action. What are you expecting to see from some of the young rookies on this defensive line against the Baltimore Ravens?
I have a sneaky suspicion that TJ Sanders, lines up next to Ed Oliver to start over DaQuan Jones.
Interesting.
I know that TJ Sanders, of course, DaQuan Jones was protected more in the preseason, but I don't know that he was protected by way of the pecking order. I think he was protected by way of his age. You know, it's his 12th season in the league. I think it's possible that TJ Sanders showed enough to have them line him up with Oliver as a pass rush heavy, especially against this front, because the weakness of the Ravens is actually Voorhees at left guard and Falele at right guard. Falele is actually coming off an injury, so he might even be a little bit more hampered than he might usually be. And either of them are average. Their center, Tyler Linderbaum, is awesome. One of the best in the league, probably second or third best. And their tackles, you know, Ronnie Stanley and Rosengarten on the right tackle are elite. They're excellent. You know, they're top 20, top 30. Rosengarten's okay, but Ronnie Stanley still in his advanced age is an excellent tackle. So really, it's going to be on Oliver and Sanders to disrupt and make things happen in those early downs in order to stuff or stop Derrick Henry, in order to get after the option game that Jackson might do or the RPO game. And if they can do it, I think that it's going to make a difference. That's going to be an X factor for me too. That's a question mark, is what can even Deion Walker do? Is he going to show up ragdolling guards like he was in the preseason when they're no longer third or fourth stringers? We'll see.
Dude, I'm telling you, the apology card you're going to write this kid at the end of the season is going to be incredible.
Not even the end of the season. I promise week 4, if he's proven to me by week 4 that he is a reasonable NFL talent who we can count on for some excellent snaps every game, card will be in the mail. I'll cook that thing up with my toddler at his little drawing table on the tiny little bear chair, and we'll send that thing off.
You know, something that we have not talked a lot about, there's been so much focus on the secondary and Cole Bishop and Rapp. Like, are they going to be good to go as a duo? Is there too much duplicity there, redundancy? Who is CB2? What we have not talked a lot about is that Matt Milano not only had a healthy training camp and a healthy preseason, but he looks very close to old Matt Milano when you look at a lot of camp footage that we're seeing. How does Matt, and I can't believe that we have to like make a special case to talk about this, but what do you expect from Matt Milano in this game? Because if we're seeing like 2022 Matt Milano or even 80% of that, I do feel good about the Bills' ability to at least take away portions of the middle of the field in both coverage and in some of that gap run game that the Baltimore Ravens like to run. So what is your sense for Milano's impact on this game?
I think this is just my like gut reaction after watching the few snaps he played in preseason and reading all of the beat reporters' coverage of practice. My feeling is that Matt Milano is probably going to look probably like you'd mentioned 80% of prime best case Matt Milano that we've seen in Buffalo. And that is a scary Matt Milano. Like when we've seen Matt Milano play at his best health and highest skill, and he's getting a little bit older. He started his career as a kind of an older rookie as well. And so he's getting a little bit later in his career, even with not as many years in the league. But I could see him making a difference for sure. I think that the thing that we were also excited about last year is a full season of Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard next to each other. And then all of a sudden he has the pectoral injury and training camp doesn't come back till week 10, doesn't look like himself until the playoffs, and then just barely started looking like himself. So it seems as if he is more back than he's been in 3 seasons. And for that, I think that I'm really excited. Bobby Babich during a presser this week, you know, when they asked about Matt Milano, he said, stay healthy. He's awesome. Like that's all he had to say about Matt Milano, because that's the thing, right? Like when he is 100%, there's few matchup linebackers like him in the league who can make a difference and splash plays, nose for the ball, you know, ripping out fumbles, like all the stuff that we love about Matt Milano's play style, I think would really come through. And I don't know that there's many people in the league that could like lay a lick on Derrick Henry, but I trust Matt Milano to try.
Yes, absolutely. You know, while you were taking your hiatus from the pod and I was doing some of my, you know, god awful solo stuff, one of the questions I posited was like, are we sure, given that Milano restructured his deal and that he is now financially committed to this team next year, are we sure he is in line to be the starter, or does he get the Joey Bosa treatment this year, where we bring him in, you know, in key clutch closing moments, and we kind of save him for a deeper run into the playoffs. And I was like, you know, this could be the Dorian Williams ascension year. Not only was that take proven completely wrong, I'm not even sure how much I want to play Dorian Williams in this game. He is a magnet in the run game, right? Like, he will heat seek on any running back that you put in front of him. The problem is the Ravens are exceptionally good at not putting stuff directly in front of you. Lots of RPO, misdirection, play action, stuff that Williams tends to bite on. I could really see this being a game where it's Bernard and Milano on an island out there, and I'm actually very comfortable with that. I think Milano, where his health is, Bernard also, knock on wood, had a pretty healthy preseason and pretty healthy camp as well. If those two guys are at 100%, I feel better about our ability to stop the run, give some of these rookie D linemen some support, but also maybe take away key areas and coverage across the middle of the field too, and cover for a guy like Jamarcus Ingram or Dorian Strong, should they be out there in the CB2 capacity.
Yeah, I think I agree completely. I like the middle of the Bills defense in this game. As long as everybody kind of stays up on their feet and it's good, I can see the defensive line, Bosa, Rousseau, Oliver, Daquan Jones, or Oliver and TJ Sanders making a difference and making it more difficult than the Ravens have had against the Bills to establish the run in this game. Like, we have to remember the game last year, early in the season, where the Ravens absolutely stomped the Bills. They were playing without either of their starting. It was Baylen Specter, Dorian Williams, and then Cam Lewis in the nickel, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is not the middle of the Bills defense. Like, it's anyone who's like going to say that's the Bills, their defense can't stop the Ravens. No, the Bills backup defense, like preseason defense, can't stop the Ravens right in that game. They beat the Ravens in the second game because of outstanding individual plays by the people who were missing. Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard ripping out a fumble, you know, like all that stuff matters. The thing I'm most worried about isn't even Jamarcus Ingram, because I think that Jamarcus Ingram can be helped. The thing I'm most worried about is freaking Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp. Neither have been healthy for more than like three consecutive weeks, basically in the past year. And then on top of that, they're the people we're counting on to help Jamarcus Ingram or Dorian Strong if they start getting tested. And I don't know if I trust them to help or know what to do to help, especially Cole Bishop. Like, he gets pretty, he has proven even in the preseason, on extended time, when they're like, finally, he's healthy, let's get him in there. He was biting on a lot of stuff. He was not in position a lot of times. He wasn't playing his proper leverage in many coverages. That all worries me. And that, I think, is part of the reason that DeMar Hamlin had so much play last year, is they were waiting for it to click for Cole, and it didn't. I mean, his spot starting, he has all the talent in the world. He's got all the athleticism that you want for that position. It's just he doesn't seem to be clicking with his defense. And whenever people are really frustrated, oh my gosh, we brought back Jordan Poyer for the practice squad. It's just another attempt to try to get somebody to help teach and train. He's a tutor. He's remedial in this defense. And Jordan Poyer is tutor. Like, that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, 100%. I might come to regret this. I'm less worried about Taylor Rapp just because of his familiarity with the scheme. And I mean, listen, these coaches, they really like Rapp. And there is an argument to be made last year that Taylor Rapp was actually an underrated piece of this defense, not just because of his havoc rating and his toxic differential with turnovers and all that kind of stuff he created. Like, he is so essential in coming from deep coverage and running downhill to stop crossing routes from being a 30-yard gain. He stops them at 14, you know what I mean? A run that he comes in and crashes for a 7-yard gain as opposed to a 17-yard gain. He really is, in a lot of ways, the teams choose to attack the Bills' defense. He really is, to me, a suitable safety blanket for what they want to do. To me, like, the unanswered question, I agree, is Bishop. And I do wonder if things are going poorly in the first couple of drives for Bishop. I wonder how long it is before we see DeMar Hamlin, who is not a risk taker in that secondary, but he is perfectly capable of playing deep coverage. Mm-hmm. perfectly capable of being your second guy in a cover two situation. He knows all of the second looks that that secondary wants to give post snap. Like, I could see the Buffalo Bills going with a higher floor option, depending on how things start out for Bishop. We'll see. We'll see.
Hamlin, I think there's a lot of, you know, acid for Hamlin.
I don't know why. He's like suitable. He's good. Like,
right. Well, and then that's what I was going to get to is I think that I want better than I want an upgrade over DeMar Hamlin talent wise.
Sure.
I think most people would agree he is not a top 15 safety in the league.
Right.
But I think he's probably in the top 30. He's a good starting safety. Every team needs two, right? Like, and he is a reasonable starting safety in the NFL. Mostly because technically he knows where he's supposed to be. He's sound. He has enough athleticism to play the position. He is a good teammate. He's a good communicator back there. And I think that that's what they need, because that position, especially in the Sean McDermott defense, and the people who get frustrated about DeMar Hamlin, like not being, you know, an elite talent, they have to understand that part of it, you have to play the defense that you have, right? And the Bills, the old defense is the defense, relies on those safeties switching coverages, mixing and matching, handing things off. And if you're not a heady player who knows kind of what your keys are and where to be, you're not going to succeed even with all the elite physical talent in the world. And so for all that, yeah, I think that it would be a real I'll have a real problem with it if Cole Bishop leaves this game for DeMar Hamlin and not injury related, because that says something to me. That says, okay, they might be pulling the ripcord on like almost the entire class behind Keon Coleman, which is like, right? Like, they already cut Edifuan Ulufosio.
Ulufosio, yeah.
Yeah, they brought him back to the practice squad. He was their fifth. They have moved on in a lot of ways from Dwayne Carter. He was relegated to third string or worse.
Yep. Very it's likely going to be cut when Ogunjobi came back. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not looking great for the middle part of that whole draft.
It's not. And when you are paying a quarterback what we're paying a quarterback, despite the team friendly nature of the percentage of cap hit year after year, and when you're paying a wide receiver room, I looked this up the other day on SpotRack because I couldn't believe it. The Buffalo Bills have the 18th highest salary cap hit when it comes to their wide receiver room this season and next season. And they're spending, I think, the third most percentage cap on the defense as well. Think about that in relation to all the rookies that they just drafted and are planning on playing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when you're in a situation cap wise that the Bills are, you really can't afford to miss on an entire draft class. So we hope Cole Bishop shows out. We hope he is like this year's Terrell Bernard. Cause listen, there are parallels. We were saying this a lot after Tremaine Edmonds left that, you know, Bernard, like another third round linebacker that we decided to draft and all this other kind of stuff, kind of undersized. What's he going to do? And he came out like gangbusters after not having a great preseason, right? Maybe Cole Bishop does the same thing, you know, as a second year player. I don't know. We got to wait and see. But I think there's definitely cause for concern on the defense. But the reality is we're going to get some answers because this is a real offense. They're going to be facing a real test for the Bills. Final thoughts on the defense, or you want to switch over to the offense?
Just one more, and it's like not defense specific. It has a defense flavor. Javon Solomon still may get some snaps in this game on the roster in the team. And I just had to look back at the 2024 draft. They took 10 players between the second and seventh round.
It's crazy.
And if Keon Coleman, Cole Bishop, Ray Davis, Cedric Van Pran Granger, if those four players hit, and then Tylan Grable looks like he's going to hit, he's injured again.
Yeah.
But so if they have, that's a 50% hit rate on players that are reasonable NFL starters potentially, or at least, you know, solid backups. I won't be absolutely, pitifully, pathetically sad about that draft if those five players actually pan out.
Yeah, but I'm really sad about the Dwayne Carter stuff, man.
Yeah, like, I think he's likable as a player, as a guy, as a leader, as a character person.
Yeah, I wish he would have had a chance to flip this narrative. They were going to have to give him some run in this rotation until Ogunjobi came back. And I love seeing a homegrown product flip a narrative. And I know he didn't have a great preseason and the Bills were playing him for extended stretches against scrubs just for him to show them anything, right?
And he didn't.
So I know it wasn't looking good, but was still rooting for his success, and this Achilles injury kind of sucks. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Offensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things here real quick I want to tee up for you. I think the Ravens are going to play a lot of man against the Buffalo Bills. They're going to make Josh Palmer and Keon Coleman prove that they can beat their outside wide receivers. And I think until they do, we're going to see a lot of cover one, and we're going to see Marlon Humphrey, who was E of the third highest havoc rating in the league last year, wreaking havoc in the box, jamming Dalton Kincaid coming across the middle, doing everything he can to stuff James Cook, until either Keon Coleman or Josh Palmer can prove they can beat one of Wiggins or Alexander on the outside. If Alexander plays, which I'm not 100% convinced he is. He was a full practice participant today, but up until this point, he hasn't really practiced with the squad in like a month, right?
Yep.
So my take right here that I want you to weigh in on is this game is going to be one, yes, in the trenches, and the Bills are going to have some success running the ball more than likely. But to me, to unlock this offense against this potent Ravens defense, somebody's got to win on the outside. That's the key factor for me.
Or Shakir has to win from the slot against the arguably best safety in the league, Kyle Hamilton.
I mean, and here's the thing with that. And like, we all love Khalil Shakir, right? But his man success metrics, according to reception perception, way, way below what his zone beater metrics are, right? I mean, we love Shakir, and he's crafty, and he's like very sudden in his routes, but he's not a big time man beater.
He's not a physical specimen, and he doesn't have the elite traits of somebody who can break away from man coverage speed wise. Yeah. Right. So,
and they'll put him in motion. Like Brady will do some creative stuff a la Zay Flowers to get him some free releases off the line. But by the same token, I mean, I think it was in the divisional game last year. I was looking through some of my stats, stat packages, and I think he had 8 targets in man last year and only 1 reception versus zone, where he was 7 for 8. I mean, listen, Khalil Shakir in man-to-man situations, I almost want to see some of those slot snaps go to Keon Coleman. You know, Khalil Shakir is not going to be a 60 or 70% snap guy anyway. I'd love to see something creative where Coleman gets into the slot. We do some things pre-snap to free up Coleman at the line, because he is also not great at beating press coverage off the line. Let's get him some free releases across the middle and give Josh just a big ass target to go against. And I like Coleman's chances slightly better than Kyle Hamilton, though Kyle Hamilton is better defensively than anything we may have in that wide receiver room.
Yeah. And to your point before of like how much the Bill 19th most to the wide receiver room, if this and other games go very badly, with teams very easily handling the Bills' passing attack and man coverage setups, it's going to prove that, you know, trading up, you know, in the draft for an elite wide receiver is not a fool's errand, and that Brandon Bean might have it wrong, right? Like, not using prime, you know, draft picks and resources or cap money to get one of the top receivers, it is potentially a problem for this offense. Like, I think that's the thing that they might encounter. It's cute that they traded down a bunch and got some extra picks and, you know, got Keon Coleman. But if he turns out to be a dud on the outside and unable to uncover against good coverage, that doesn't help in the playoffs, because it's a lot of good coverage. And it so, I think that there was another Bills media outfit that covered the fact that the Bills have the most, they pay the most money to middle and bottom of the roster contracts, and they have the biggest gap between their best paid player and their worst paid player, which you expect to see is a major gap between Josh Allen and literally anybody.
And
right?
Anybody.
So, yeah. But the chasm is so big. And then the fact that they most, a great majority of their actual whole cap is paid to middle tier and below contracts. You're going to get middle tier and below talent for that, right? Like, the fact that they're doing this approach of like, we're going to give everybody a reasonable, we're not going to overpay anyone. We're going to give everyone reasonable deals. We're going to pay vets a 1-year deal to try to redeem their career here. You know, if it continues to not work, that might be Brandon Bean looking for a job down the line, right? Like, they're using the best years that Josh Allen has and using a completely different approach from the rest of the NFL.
Yeah. And, you know, and those are all things that if for whatever reason, Josh Palmer is not the man beater separation guy on the outside that they've built him as, and if Keon Coleman doesn't take that next step, I think all of those things are fair game to talk about. In this game in particular, I'm very interested to see, A, does Jair Alexander play? Because if Alexander doesn't play, I do think we could see some early reps from Josh Palmer where they do take advantage of some of his route running ability. I am not sold on him as the elite separation route running specialist that he is billed as, but I do know he's successful on some in-breaking routes, right? And the Bills really could use that to open up the middle of the field against this Baltimore Ravens defense too, and take some pressure off the boundaries where they're going to, you know, put a couple of guys on an island against our wideouts and see if they can win. If Alexander does play, I'll be interested to see what that matchup looks like. If Alexander is following Palmer, or if he's solely on Coleman, or if the Ravens are like, our dudes are better than your dudes, it doesn't matter who we put on you.
Line up right? Wherever. Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Well, and I think that, you know, just based on the way that they approach the divisional matchup and the talent, the way the talent stacks, I expect to see Jackson Hawes and Dalton Kincaid in two tight end sets here.
Yeah.
Attacking with James Cook, they have better tackles for the Bills. They have a reasonable center and they have solid but not spectacular guards. I can see even against that front. I mean, that front is stacked, right? Like Madubuike, Jones, Washington up in the middle with Kyle Van Noy and Odafewa Owe on the outside, Jason Owe.
And Mike Green, the Marshall kid they just drafted.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. They have a stacked physical unit in the middle of their defense and the defensive line, but they don't have, I mean, Roquan Smith is pretty awesome. Dylan, they have such good talent. It's frustrating. But
it's
Malachi, crazy. Malachi Starks as a rookie free safety, who I kind of wish that the Bills had drafted too. I know, like, it's just too. Like Trenton Simpson's there. Like it's a tough time to run against them, but I could see the Bills trying it anyway, because they were more successful than almost any team last year in facing this Ravens defensive front and running on them. They ran 36 times with you know, James Cook and others in the divisional game, and it worked for them to control the clock and try to keep the offense off the field for the Ravens.
The Baltimore Ravens last season, 2024, were the number one team in the league in overall defensive rushing efficiency. So it was a tough team for any squad to run on. And I mean, not only have they returned a lot of guys from last year, but they've bolstered it with some really savvy draft picks too. This is going to be one of those few matchups, I think, where in the rush game, the Bills might be at a disadvantage offensively, and they're going to have to, again, it all goes to that wideout room. They're going to need somebody on the outside to step up.
Well, they need to lighten the box. Kyle Hamilton and Malachi Starks playing up close to the line. You're so toast if you try to run on that front.
Forget about it. Right.
If you're not able to stretch them out and send them backpedaling in order to protect their deep middle or deep sidelines, you're going to pay. And your run game is never going to get established.
Yeah, this is a tough one. And the Ravens, listen, for all the Ravens quirks, like, this is a team that costs itself a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And that's been something that's been very consistent, you know, for as long as Harbaugh has been the coach there. Like last year, they lost by Isaiah Likely's toe in the end zone. You know what I mean? Yep. In the AFC divisional round, you know, turnovers that, yes, you can give credit to the Bills for generating, but also like Lamar Jackson letting himself get helicoptered and then losing the
throwing
ball.
Throwing the ball on the ground,
You know what I mean? Like, this is a team that has a lot of talent, but also lost to the Raiders in week two last year. Like, they are a team that has some really frustrating kind of brain fart moments, particularly early on in the season. And you got to hope, and it's like, I know hope is not a strategy, but it does make you wonder if some of those habits are not a bug, but kind of a feature of how this team plays. Because the Buffalo Bills are the complete opposite of that. They have become a very disciplined outfit, particularly when they play at home. And like all games, if this game is close and it comes down to a game of inches, I really like the Bills in a close game more than I like the Ravens in a close game, because the Bills have shown they've got the chops and they know how to win those games. To me, this game is either a Ravens blowout or the Bills won a really close one. Mm. But I don't see a scenario because of the Ravens track record where they can eke out a really close game. And they're going through a lot of upheaval in special teams too. So if it, you know, no more Justin Tucker. So right. if it comes down to a field goal situation for the Ravens too, they've got some untested talent at that position yeah. as well.
It's their rookie kicker versus a washed veteran for the Bills and Matt Prater, because I don't see Tyler Bass going. I don't think he's going to play.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, so this whole game, right, should it come down to those moments, who do you trust more? Do you trust the Ravens or do you trust the Bills? And for me, it all comes down to kind of what 2024 came down to, too. The Bills need to control game script. They need the offense to carry a lot of that load in controlling game script. And they need some favorable situations where they can get the Ravens away from the run game. Because if they can't, I could see this being a very long day for the Bills, a la what they experienced last season.
Yeah, early in the season. I agree. I think that the real crux of it's going to come down to who makes more mistakes mm-hmm. and can they force errors.
Yeah.
If Josh plays clean, he only threw for 127 yards in that divisional playoff game.
Yep.
They controlled the game script. They kept on the ground. It was still super close, 2-point win. But they had they won the turnover battle 3-0. Like that is
the difference.
That's the recipe. That is like that. Sadly, that is the recipe. Is when you're facing a superior, talented opponent, you have to make them make errors. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's what the Bills right now feel like the Patriots during their dynasty, with Tom Brady being the one of one quarterback in the league, and then the rest of the team just being a bunch of guys, but playing so disciplined that they let the other team beat themselves. And then it's a comparable. I hate making that comparison because it's the Patriots.
We also haven't benefited from the Super Bowls they did.
Right.
Either
and we also run. Haven't yeah. cheated. That
also
we know
true.
Of. Yeah. So
also true.
There's been no proven cheating that was happening for the Bills, correct. But it's a similar recipe for winning. It's basically play strong, disciplined, you know, mistake-free football, have the best quarterback in the league, and then, you know, let the chips fall where they may, even if you don't have the most talented roster.
Right, absolutely. And listen, the Ravens have lots of matchup advantages up and down their individual positional rooms versus the Bills. So it's going to be, listen, I was not excited for this matchup in week one. The first game in the Ralph Farewell Tour, I was like, ugh. And I was surprised when the Bills opened as favorites, I'm not going to lie, in this game. But that line has since shifted, which I think is a good place for us to shift to predictions sure to go wrong, my friend. Let's talk about it. It is back, baby.
What do we got for the line?
Ravens 1.5.
Okay.
Yep. Ravens are plus 1.5 here. That line shifted today. The over-under on this game is 50.5.
What?
So someone thinks this is going to be a score galore type of game. So, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead crazy. And make your prediction, sir.
Listen, don't hate me, Bills Mafia. I have only picked against the Bills once, and they won that game. And I never picked against them again. But the Ravens, listen, the Ravens are to the Bills what the Bills are to the Chiefs. The Ravens really, really put together solid football against us in the regular season. Can't seem to get over that postseason hump against the Bills, whereas the Bills are the same way with the Chiefs, right? So there is a world where this is the Ravens are treating this like their Super Bowl, because that's what undisciplined teams tend to do. So, and the Bills have their eye on a longer game, on a longer type of play here. So I go Ravens, and you know, the Bills don't get blown out a lot, but I'm going to go Ravens 27, Bills 20. And I hate doing it. I hate saying it, but I think the Ravens not just cover the spread, but they win by a clear touchdown and an extra point. I will take the under, particularly because the weather is looking cold in mm-hmm. Buffalo that night. And we all know that plays a massive role in how offensive play in that environment. But I think the farewell tour for the Ralph here gets off to a bumpy start, though I think much more positive as the season goes on.
Okay. Well, Bills Mafia, I'm not going to abandon you like Dan.
That's terrible. You've picked against the Bills way more than I have.
I know I have. But not this time, because I've got that spirit of you know, spirit of hope and positivity that surrounds us all preseason, even though most of our secondary is injured and not playing well together.
We don't know if we have any answers at wide receiver. Yeah.
We don't know if anybody in the wide receiver room is capable of catching a pass over a good coverage person. And then also, you know, we don't know how we're going to run against this front. So with that said, I can see the Bills winning 24-20 over the Ravens. I'm also taking the under. I don't think this is going to be a shootout type game. And my 24-20 is built on the foundation of the Bills forcing the Ravens into mistakes and playing a very, very clean game. And I think that, yes, the Ravens, like you said, are kind of treating this like their Super Bowl. They're playing with all this emotion. I think emotion can be a double-edged sword in a game like this. And if the Bills come in with that kind of cold operator mentality and play their version of football, they can come out, they can force some errors, they can protect themselves from making errors of their own. Because I think that the Bills haven't been squawking in the media, but I think they're also taking this very seriously, because they know from so many seasons past that giving up this game, or giving up a game to the Chiefs in the regular season, giving up a game to the Bengals in the regular season, that's how you lose the number one seed. Mm-hmm. And their goal is the number one seed, home field through the playoffs. Let's send the Ralph, you know, into demolition with a winning postseason. Mm-hmm. And so I know that they're locked in. I'm trusting them to be locked in. I'm a little bit worried that this is the first preseason that Josh Allen hasn't played a single snap of live game, you know, action. But we'll see how he does with that. I mean, he is the MVP, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So normally at this point, JJ, we would do prop bets for the game.
Yep.
But because, to your point, we haven't really had a chance to connect and talk about the Bills' overview of the season, I want to take this opportunity to do some predictions. I want to do a record prediction for the Bills. And then I want to do a where we see the season ending for the Bills. All right. So let's start with record prediction. 17-game season. Where do you see the Bills landing record-wise this year?
I'm thinking they go 13-4.
All right. Who are the four losses, out of curiosity?
I think that they lose to the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Jets. The Jets in the last game of the season. It mm-hmm. stinks to lose the last home game in the Ralph or you know, Highmark Stadium. But I think that if they're going by my prediction, 13-4, they're gonna probably not. They're gonna rest all their starters. You know. Yeah. And so, because there are more important things at that point in time. So, Jets in the last game of the season, Patriots, Eagles, and I'm trying to think of another NFC foe.
Maybe Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Bucks. They're a good team. Yeah. So.
Yep. I've got, I also have the Bills losing one to the Patriots. I've got the Bills losing one to the Jets too. Same thing that last game. Yeah. I've got them losing to the Buccaneers, the Eagles, and then I think that was it. Yeah. My prediction was also, 12-5. I'm missing a loss.
Okay, you're missing a loss. Jets. I
had Jets, Patriots is a split. Mm-hmm. I had them losing to the Eagles, losing to the Bucks, and then I had them sweeping the Dolphins, at some point we got to talk about the Dolphins. Maybe we got to get Steve on here. That's like the highest variance team in the league tonight.
Who knows what they're going to be?
I mean, no one knows. They don't know what they're going to do, right? Yeah. They could be 11-6. They could be 6-11. I have no idea what that team's about. Who is the fifth loss? Oh, I had them losing to the Bengals too.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. The Bengals have some weird mojo about them that, like, the Bills just haven't, and not once since McDermott's been there have the Bills played the Bengals very, very strong.
Yeah. The Bills versus the Bengals thing has been weird. And Burrow is just not afraid of that defensive front at all. Yep. And I love Christian Benford, but when he's got a man up, a Garrett Wilson or a Jamar Chase, like he has really struggled on an island.
Yeah. Those are situations where you see why he was a sixth round pick, right? Like there's a reason, there's a height, weight, you know, speed type reason for somebody to drop that far in the draft. Mm-hmm. And those are the times that his tenacity can't necessarily overcome someone's physical gifts.
Yep. So I've got the Bills at 12-5, still a really good season, right? Still making the playoffs and then still winning the AFC East. So we both have the Bills in the playoffs. JJ, where does the playoff run end, or does it end? Is this finally the year?
This is finally the year. I truly believe. I got it. All my eggs are in this basket. If this doesn't go well, it's just been a shit year.
My mental health is riding solely on this one.
All well-being I have is wrapped up in this football team and how they end the season. Every bit of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I'm the fan in me is like 100%. This has to be the year.
This is right? the year. Yeah.
This has to be the one before I die, right?
Yes.
Because if it's not, there's a lot of uncomfortable questions the Bills have to ask themselves at the end of this year. So, especially if it ends to the Chiefs again, who for whatever reason, people are sleeping on the Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs are going to be a good team, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll see.
I'm not sleeping on the Chiefs. I am bullish on the AFC West bringing more thunder to that division than they have in the past 4 or 5 years. I'm trusting the Broncos to do some business.
You're trusting Bo Nix.
Yes. I'm trusting the Broncos to get some stuff done. I'm trusting Justin Herbert to finally like slay that dragon a little bit. And even if they split with those teams, you know, each of those teams and then have a couple losses here or there, I think that the Bills can overcome that.
The Raiders are going to be feisty. That offense with Chip Kelly, Geno Smith, and Genty, the running back, that's going to be interesting.
Well, don't
right?
they? They also have Brock Bowers.
They got Brock Bowers,
who's
right?
a fledgling star. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think, and Chip Kelly learned a lot from his first stint as a play caller in the NFL. He's just doing some funky stuff at Ohio State last year, so I think that could be interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. We do have to do like a quick NFL roundup at some point when we get a chance. I don't know. I don't know anything about football, but yet I do this. But like Bo Nix was good against bad teams and bad against good teams. And I don't know if that's oversimplistic, but he's a second year QB and I don't know what they're going to do to make him good against good teams. And the Broncos are playing a tougher schedule this year. So,
And for me, it's not even about Bo Nix causing the problems. It's that the Broncos defense added some pretty good pieces. And they were one of the best defenses in the league. And that can be enough. If you have a game managing quarterback and your defense is ferocious, look at the Minnesota Vikings going like 12-5 last year. That was purely built on an okay quarterback and offense.
Brian Flores.
Plus a sick defense. And they have Justin Jefferson.
It's just a defensive coordinator who knows exactly how to cover up the weaknesses on his defense by creating chaos. Like Brian Flores is that dude. Bills could use a little of that this year. Just create a lot of chaos and cover up your CB2 situation.
Well, and I mean, that is a question too, is like, that's a big question mark for this season, is this is the second full year of the Bills offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator and Joe Brady and Bobby Babich. Can they get it done, right? Like, are they at the end of the season when this all wraps up, especially if they have a Super Bowl victory, I think both probably are gone, but
I think Brady is gone. Unless the Bills have this massive offensive regression, I think Brady is probably gone no matter what.
No matter what. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Babich, you know, Babich was a hot DC coordinator when the Bills decided to elevate him a couple of years ago. I think if the Bills defense improves and the Bills take home the Lombardi, I don't know that Babich is gone necessarily. But I definitely think Brady is probably gone. No matter what.
Yeah, it's always tough for a DC who has a head coach who's a defensive former DC to get a head coaching position, because the question always is, was it you or was it your head coach? Was it your boss?
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, lots of juicy stuff to talk about, man.
I've got a really important Bills full season outlook question for you.
Okay.
The season ends. Who on the Buffalo Bills has the most sacks and how many is it?
Greg Rousseau, 9.
Okay.
Like I don't know what we're getting out of Sanders or Walker. I don't think we're getting another 10 sack season out of Ed Oliver. Mm-hmm. DaQuan Jones ain't that dude anymore. And Joey Bosa, I could see having a really solid season, but they're saving him for something bigger, right? So I could see the pass rush being improved from a pressure perspective this year. But as far as like getting home and massive sack totals, I think Greg Rousseau probably leads it with 9. Bosa trailing with like 8, 8.5.
Okay. My guess for this is TJ Sanders with 11.
Dude, TJ Sanders on the interior is a rookie.
Double digits. Yeah.
Dude, that's defensive rookie of the year.
I got a lot of hope for him. Well, he just looks special. He looks very special. In the preseason, and we might have mentioned this on a previous pod, in the preseason, they were literally putting him out there for like a series. Mm-hmm. He was wrecking it, and then they were just pulling him off the field. So like that, I think they got a guy here.
No, I think we both agree they got a guy. Yeah. I don't know if they got an 11 sack guy, but damn, I love your optimism, dude. We will mark that down.
I wrote, I'm writing it in the prediction sure to go wrong.
Good.
Got a new,
awesome. You need to.
New pod liner, new awesome. Show liner. Yeah.
All right. Here's one for you. And we'll close on this one. Do the Bills have a 1,000-yard pass catcher? I say pass catcher to include the tight ends.
Yes. And that person is Khalil Shakir for me.
Because
I think it's volume based. I think his average is like 11 yards per reception, but he has so many targets, right?
Yeah. I want to say yes, but they've got this everybody eats mentality. They've added Josh Palmer to the mix. I mean, I think their top targeted wideout last year wasn't it Mac Collins?
Yeah. Right? No, he was the top touchdown getter. I think Shakir got the most targets, though.
Shakir got the most targets, but Hollins led in snap share last year. That's what I'm thinking of. Yep. I don't know, man. They do weird things with this wide receiver room as far as the groupings they run out there. We haven't even talked about Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore either.
Why?
Or Tyrell Shavers, right? I know, seriously.
Yeah.
But I would love to see like a jumbo wideout unit where you've got Palmer, Coleman in the slot, and you've got Shavers in the X, right? And just make some hay with that. I don't think the Bills get a 1,000-yard wide receiver because they've proven that they can be an absolute wagon on offense without one. But I'll be interested to see, like, again, do they have a X receiver? Do they have an outside guy that can step up? I don't care who it is. They can step up this year and pull some of these defenses out of man coverage against the Bills, right?
I mean, that brings me to one final question. Does Dalton Kincaid prove his draft pedigree in this season?
I think so. Like, I think a lot of people, he had such lofty expectations heading into year two. Diggs is gone. And I think we forget that before he got hurt, he was getting number one wide receiver coverage looks early on in the season. Yep. Like, he was getting bracket coverage. He was getting double teamed. Like, he was getting jammed at the line of scrimmage. Like, people are taking advantage of the fact that he's a undersized tight end, right? But he was absolutely getting number one target type of coverage. And then he got hurt, right? And he didn't fully recover from that. And then he ended the season on like a tragic note with that drop pass in the AFC championship game. And I think the combination of teams overemphasizing him early on to lock him out of the game plan and the lack of expectations management for him really left a lot of people sour on him. I think he's a good player. I like his athletic profile, and I absolutely think he's got the chops to be tight end one this year. What does tight end one look like on this team? I would take a 750-yard, 6 or 7 touchdown season out of the kid, right? And I would say that's good for me.
Okay, yeah. I don't think it happens. And that's not just being pessimistic. I'm just like, I don't understand what about the Josh Allen, Dalton Kincaid chemistry is so broken, or was last year, other than we know he was dinged up. We know he was playing on probably 2 bad wheels. Mm-hmm. That can change your timing. That can make a huge impact. I'm hoping
timing
that
was so off with
and
them.
I'm hoping that was just it, right? Like, but if he has no reported injuries or reason for whatever it is, and they still look like Josh can't throw him a catchable ball, at that point, I'm like, what is the problem here? Like, why can it not work? Because you can see it. You can see as a pass catcher how talented he is. You can see as a route runner how talented he is. If he can't connect with his quarterback, then I don't know where we go from there. So I'm very hopeful, but it seemed weird last year that even when he was healthy, they didn't seem to connect very often.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I think I'm higher on him having a bounce back year than you are. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Bills fans have kind of written him off, but damn, man, that dude had a really good preseason. Like, the blocking still is not all the way there, but listen, that's not what we're paying the man to do, yeah. right? Go catch a couple of seam balls.
Jackson Hawes, who is going to be targeted four times, but is going to play 700 snaps blocking as the Alec Anderson extra offensive lineman who could possibly get one, you know, mm-hmm. like look out red zone.
Thick six, baby. We deserve it this year.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Cool, man. All right. Listen, enjoy the game this Sunday. Enjoy football generally being back. All right. And for all of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Take a look at our faces on YouTube. We are also on Apple and Spotify. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.